grandson.
Love you, Grandpa.
Amen.
Well, you can take your seats if you will. Father God, I thank you for your mercies. I thank you for your many, many blessings you've given us. And Lord, I ask tonight that I could speak as your servant. And Lord, open the ears of your people. So Lord, we might be blessed. We might be leave here with the blessing of the Lord upon our lives and upon our lips. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the people that come out. I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sister Erin, you've done a good job when you was preaching about that big milkshake. You put me in a mood to have a milkshake. Now, that's a good preacher. The two scriptures tonight I'd like you to open your Bible to, Matthew 8:17 and 1 Peter 2:24. Now, we're going to talk about seven ways that people could obtain your healing. Now, you know, the body of Christ, there's a whole lot of people get healed and a whole lot of people don't get healed. And we want to look into the reasons why sometimes healing don't come. Because if God promised you something, you can have it. Now, we believe we are thoroughly schooled in salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. That message goes to the Baptists, Methodists, Episcopals, and those that will believe that message get eternal life. Now, Matthew 8:17 is just as true as John 3:16. But when you believe Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness." And 1 Peter 2:24, which mirrors Isaiah 53, "Who in his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes," way back at Calvary, "we're healed." Now, as far as Jesus is concerned, what he did on the cross, if we take advantage of it, will bring healing. Now, there are scriptures promises us healing, and God's word is true. Every man be a liar and God's word be true. But sometimes people don't receive it. And what happens when healing doesn't come? Well, after 30 years of looking into the subject, there's some reasons I've stumbled across. There's a few elephants I've stumbled over in 30 years in God's house. Now, number one, when something happens, it doesn't happen. Look to the reason why. Number two, God can't fail. Number three, the problem has to be with us. And number four, God will know something about a situation we don't know. And number five, sometimes healing, which the definition of it is a gradual recovery, comes slow, and people in the middle of it lose it. I remember that there was a... told this story before. There was a Baptist pastor, and one of his parishioners was totally paralyzed, and he went to one of the healing meetings, one of the healing evangelists, and God healed him. And he walked back to his pastor and said, "Well, I was at the brother so and so's meeting last night, and the Lord healed me, and I was laying on a bed paralyzed, and I'm healed." And this pastor, who did not believe in healing, said, "Well, if you did get healing, it must have been the devil." And immediately his paralysis returned, and he died in bed. So you can understand faith has a big thing to do with God moving in our life. Now, if you looked in the Bible, many times when Jesus healed somebody, how many times did he say something like this? "Take up your bed and walk. Go home. Little woman with the issue of blood, get out of here, go home." This is man to Solomon's pool that he healed on the Sabbath day. "Get up, take up your bed, go home, get out of here." 10 lepers go. They went to see the. There were 12 of them, but 10 lepers. And he said, "Go immediately to the priest. Offer the sacrifice for healing. Get out of here." And the man with who was leprosy, he healed. He said, "Go home." Now the Lord didn't do that because he was a meanie. He didn't tell you know. Today, when somebody gets healed, Pastor Ryan says, "Okay, grab your coat, go home, get out of here, immediately, get out of here." You know why he did that? Because unbelief was so strong that those people would have talked him out of it. If that Baptist pastor, now I don't have anything against our Baptist brothers, they're very great with salvation, they get a lot of people saved, and praise God in millennium, the main thing is getting into heaven. I understand that. But if today, 2,000 years later, somebody can say, "Well, I don't believe it," and you believe them, and you lose your healing, that's why Jesus said that. Get out of here. Because there were so many naysayers. Now, I remember one time there was a case where a pastor, a Pentecostal pastor's wife, was lying in bed dying. And an evangelist came who was a healing evangelist, and he talked to her, and she said, "Well, I don't know anything about healing. I don't know what I never learned about it. I don't know anything about faith." And he tried to pray the prayer of faith for her. And he prayed, and he went, when he left in defeat. And he was mumbling and griping to the Lord. He said, "Now, Lord Jesus, you sent me way over here to pray for this woman, and it was nothing. Why did you? You knew she wouldn't get healed. She didn't believe it." And he said from the back of the seat of the car, he said, and I've had the Lord speak like that, and it scares you, a voice said to him, "Now, in 2 days that woman is going to be dead. She will appear before me in 2 days and tell me, if somebody would have told me this, I wouldn't have died." He said, "I'm going to tell her I sent you way out of your way to preach, to tell her and teach her about faith, so she won't be able to say to me, 'Well, nobody ever told me about this.'" Now, you think of the goodness of the Lord, sending a man out of his way to minister to a dying woman who didn't believe it, just so he could say, "I sent someone to help you. You didn't receive it." Now, the Lord, there was one time, a pastor went to pray for it. I'm giving you some negative thought. Hang on, we won't stay in the negative all night. Hey, I'll get you out of here. Don't worry about it. I'll save you. I'll get you out. One time a pastor went to pray for a man, and he says, as I prayed for him, I put my hand on his head. And he said, I was praying for him, and he said, I had my eyes closed, and a hand lifted my hand off. He said, "Well, maybe I squeezed too hard." You know, Pastor Marty, you get excited when you're praying for people, and you grab them sometimes. So he said, I said, "Okay." I put my hand back very gently, and I prayed for him and started to pray, and all of a sudden, my hand was lifted off again. Now, the third time it happened, he said, I opened my eyes. And he says, I had my hand on the man's head. I saw there was an invisible hand, grabbed his worn hand around his wrist, and picked his hand off. Now, you didn't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out something's wrong here. Something is definitely wrong. And he said, "Lord, we're not making any contact here. There's no contact being made. Something's now. What's wrong?" And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Well, the man is going to be die. He's going to die. That's because I have been waiting for him to live right, and he hasn't lived right for 2 weeks at a time. For 30 years, I've been waiting for him to stop sinning and put away sin. Once I healed him of a broken back when he was living in adultery with a woman, and now I've got him just where I want him, and I'm going to take him home. He's all fixed up spiritually. He's all fixed up materially. And he said, I'll take him home. I've got him just where I want him. But if you will lay your hand on his head, I will baptize him in the Holy Spirit, and his last 3 days will be better than his former." So now, get this. Are you ready? Now, I don't know why this guy's name had to be Wood, but it was. I wish it could have been a Houlihan Smith or something else, but it was Wood. So he said, "Now, Brother Wood, the Lord told me I'm going to lay my hands on your head, and you're going to be filled with God's Spirit. He said, all I did was put my hand on his head, and he said, immediately the man lifted his hands, started worshiping God, speaking in tongues, and they said he sat in his bed for 3 days, praising the Lord, praising God, singing and praising God, and went home to be with Jesus. Now, that's a whole lot better than going to hell. Now, I don't care if you end up, if a person like that ends up in the heavenly stables, shoveling heavenly horse poo, it's a lot better than going to hell, folks. The worst job in heaven is better than the best job in hell. And the Lord, think of how good the Lord was. He waited 30 years for this man to stop his sinning and straighten up. And finally, when he got him in a position where he could take him home, he took him home. Now, that's, you talk about the grace of God. That's the grace of God. You know, when you talk about some things of the Lord can do some things that amazes us and without us praying. Sometimes God will do some things on his own. My former pastor, Brother Brown, he's gone on to be with Jesus, but he told me an experience of one of his pastors, I think it was one of his pastor friends, that went to pray for one of his parishioners who was sick in the hospital. So the pastor came through the door, and he came up to the man's room, and the man was lying there with a sheet over his face. Well, he said, I guess he's cold. And so he said, I'll just pull the sheet down, and I'll lay hands on him and pray for him. So he laid his hands on and prayed for him. The Lord, you know, lift him up. And the man sat up and was well. Now, Pastor Ryan, I know you've done that, prayed for people, and they've come up well. And Pastor Marty and Sister Erin, I know you've done that. And, you know, that's not unusual. The only thing unusual on this is the man had died several minutes before, and they'd pronounced him dead, and they put the sheet over his face. And when the pastor came in, he pulled the sheet over and off him and prayed for him, and God raised him up from the dead. Now, you talk about praying a prayer of faith. James 5:14-5:15 says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. In this case, he raised them up right from the dead. No one expected it to happen, but the Lord did it on his own. Now, why does that happen? I'll ask the Lord. Well, he said, it's none of our business. Don't worry about it. Now, it's a good thing we Christians are used to miracles. Now, there's a man, Dr. Eby. I love to tell this story. His name was Dr. Eby, and he's still alive. He's a medical doctor, and he inherited a house from his mother-in-law. Now, she passed on, went to be with the Lord, I guess, and she left that house to Dr. Eby. And Dr. Eby was up on the second story, and he leaned against the rail, and the rail gave way, and Dr. Eby plunged head first. And he said, the last thing I remember was my head impacting the concrete. The next thing I remember was landing in a bump in a beautiful, beautiful valley in heaven. Now, what happened was he got caught. This was kind of macabre, but he got caught in a branch, and he was hanging down, and he bled out. So he was dead. You can be dead, but he was dead. And so, to make a long story short, the Lord told him to go back. Now, here he is laying in the morgue. He said there was close to 1,000 stitches in his head because his head had impacted the concrete. Now, one eye was up here and one eye was down there. And they had to get a neurosurgeon to work his skull straight so he could get his two eyes back. So suddenly in the morgue, here he is dead, stood up and said to this doctor who was, they had another doctor in the morgue, obviously, and said, see, doctor, I'm not dead. And the doctor, who was an infidel, said, lie down. All the blood in your body is gone. You're dead. You just don't know it. So just lie down and behave yourself. And Dr. Eby said that the nurse came in, took one look at him, screamed, and ran out the door and quit the next day. There was a Catholic priest who was the chaplain of the hospital, and he was, of course, giving him absolution. And Dr. Eby looked at him and said, hi, Father, I'm not dead. And the poor priest was so scared that he said, I'm going to the chapel and I'll light a candle for you. And Dr. Evie said, make sure it's Baptist tallow because I'm a Baptist. And the Lord raised him up from heaven and told him he had to go back. Now, so you see, sometimes God will do, nobody was praying for him. Sometimes God will do things on his own. Why does he do them? Well, it's because he's God. He will do what, it's one of the things we don't know. One of the secrets of God is he'll do what he wants to do, and he'll do it in his own good time, and he'll do it to help us because he's God. And, you know, we Christians can always, thank God, we can always expect God to move towards us, move with us, because we belong to him. We're his children. Now, I was in the military, and I was in the candle shop, and there was this other guy. I was witnessing to him about the Lord, and he was a joker. He'd always make jokes and stuff, you know, about the Lord and stuff. And he was terribly overweight. The army tossed him out after a while because he wouldn't lose his weight. But all of a sudden, one day, he said to me, pray for me. I'm having a heart attack. No, I thought he was rattling my birdcage. Okay, I thought he was monkeying around. So I wasn't going to pray for him. But when he started to turn gray, then I realized maybe he wasn't kidding me. And he said, my arm, my chest, pray. So I said, all right. And I laid my hands on him. And all I got out of my mouth was, Jesus. And Brother Ryan, I thought a lightning bolt had hit both of us. It nearly knocked both of us to the floor. We staggered, and he looked at me, and his eyes got bigger. I believe my eyes got bigger. And he said, I'm okay. And the Lord had mercy. Now, what? How did it work? Well, this Catholic guy knew what God could do, made demands on God's power, asked God to help him, and he used a little broken down E6 to pray for him, and God saved him. God saved him from dying. And I saw the gray actually leave his face. He was turning gray. And I realized that he wasn't messing with me. He wasn't fooling around. And I realized that God had done a miracle. I thought for a minute that maybe somehow we stuck our finger in that 220-volt electric current that the shop used. We guess it was a 220-volt, all right. If it had come from heaven, it didn't come from man. You know, preachers, when you're preaching faith and friend, you're preaching healing, you pray for the sick. You preach the word. You build a basis of faith on God's word and build people's faith to a point they can receive. But this didn't happen here. I was flat-footed out of faith, but apparently he wasn't. Here, a Roman Catholic soldier who knew a little bit about the word cried for help, and the Lord used me to help him. You know, another experience, I have someone like that. This time I really learned something about faith through experience. You know, you learn something sometimes through experience, and you learn through the word. You learn God allows you to go through experiences, and he learns, and if you read the word, when you need the word will come to you, and you can help people. I was over at Ron Savone's garage, and one of my buddies come in, and he was all messed up. Oh, my dear God, he was like this. I said, what's wrong with you? And he said, I'm all messed up. Yeah, I guess you are. You can't stand up straight. You're walking. You're a cripple. And I said to him, now, I knew the man knew the word. He was full of the word of God. He just didn't know a lot about healing. I said, well, what do you know about healing? He said, well, in God's time. I said, well, God's time is now. Can you believe that? And I gave him Matthew 8:17. I've worn that scripture out. Himself bore our infirmities and carried our diseases. And I wore it, 1 Peter 2:24. That must have holes in it, the way I've quoted it. I said, can you believe God for that? And yes. And I prayed for him. Again, being flat-footed out of faith. But I prayed for him. I said, Jesus, let the same power that raised Jesus, you from the dead, go through his mortal body and bring healing to his mortal body. I felt, I don't get this all the time, all right? I don't try to make my, this just happened. I felt the power of God go out and go into his body. And all of a sudden he stood up straight and he said, I'm healed, praise the Lord. You were there. He's walking around, I'm healed. And I said, yeah. And now get this, though. This time I had a chance to do this. I said, well, Brian, what did you expect? I was able to do, thank you, right. What did you expect? What did I expect, right? You know, you talk about believing God. In the newspaper, there was a charlatan praying for people. He didn't believe in the word. He was fleecing God's sheep. But people got healed. And now this was a funny thing. They got healed anyways because they believed the word. The word of God, which is true to 1,000 generations. What he would do is he'd send somebody through the crowd, and he'd say, how are you? I got a bad shoulder. Okay. And this guy's got a bug in his ear, right? I got a bad shoulder. And then another one, I've got tuberculosis of the spine. And another one. And all of a sudden, through the message, he'd go, oh, the Lord just told me somebody's got tuberculosis of the spine. And, of course, the people thought it was a word of knowledge. And it raised people's faith. But some of the people actually got healed because God's word is true. I took a youth group one time to David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson made this statement. I could get up here and preach salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ to you and be a sinner and die and go to hell and get you saved. That's how powerful the word is. It's on the believer. Oh, yeah, it's on the receiver too. But it's on the believer most of the time. To my own experience, I could be wrong now, but the little success I've had with God's used me is that the people reached out and believed it and received it. Are you following me? Yeah. Now, I had one time a preacher told me, he said, I had to pray. I prayed for a woman one time, and he said it was just like laying hands on a doorknob. I felt nothing. She received nothing. She believed nothing. She got nothing. And later she said, well, I didn't expect anything anyways. Now, you can be charged and anointed with the Holy Ghost. But if somebody doesn't believe it, unless God intervenes, you're going to get nothing because you believe nothing. You know, Jesus in his own hometown only prayed, only a few people got healed. You know, Sister Sarah had a bad toe, and Brother Abraham had a bad cough, and the Lord healed them. But he did no great miracles, and he marveled because of their unbelief. In one place, he took them out of town to pray for them because unbelief was so strong. So one time, one of the preachers was preaching, and he said, you know, some preachers say, and some men say God could do anything. And there was a guy in the front row who said, yes, praise God, I believe it. And so the preacher looked at him and said, if he could do anything and everything, he'd make you pray your tithes. The guy got down just like this, and he was trying to hide in the chair. Yeah, God can do anything, but you've got his part and we got our part. Now, there are seven ways. If you put them up on the board, I want you to see them. There are seven ways God ministers healing to the people. Seven ways. Now, why does he use seven ways? Because he's trying somehow to get us on the ladder of faith where we could believe. Because the goodness of the Lord draweth men unto salvation. And the goodness of the Lord heals people. The goodness of the Lord, there was a woman that was a Buddhist, and she was praying to Buddha to get healed. Of course, Buddha didn't do nothing. Buddha's dead. And they took her to a healing meeting, and this woman got healed The father got healed, the daughter got healed, the whole family got healed, and they became Christians. Why? Because of the goodness of the Lord. Now, if you look in the scriptures, if you look at Acts 3, 1, 3, and 6, the man in Jesus' name, that sickness leave. One preacher said, well, you can't tell God what to do. I thought, yeah, but I learned to read. And God let me learn to read. And it says there, if he would pray, demand sickness leave in the name of Jesus, that's what God did on the cross. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement was peace was on him. With his stripes we were healed. You're not demanding of God. You're demanding of the rights he gave you when he laid down his life for us and was crucified. And then you can pray to the Father in Jesus' name, John 16, 23 and 24. You can agree in prayer, Matthew 18 and 19 and 20. Matt, I did that with a boy in the service. His grandma was dying. And I got him to agree with me. And to make a long story short, grandma stopped dying. Whose faith was it? Well, I agreed. I believed. I knew what the word said. But he was reaching out for somebody to pray for him and to somebody to help him. Now, you can anoint with oil. Pastor Ryan, my grandson here, he does that all the time. Anoint with oil. I've seen other people in the church through the ages anoint with oil. Anoint with oil. When you put that oil up there, that's a feeling. That's a part of the Holy Ghost. They reach up there and make connection, and they're healed. James 5:14, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Mark 16:17-18, receive through gifts of healing. Praise God, there's a gift of healing. Sometimes they'll even go, even if you're not anointed that way, they'll sometimes go into operation with you, even in the laity, and they'll operate through you, and they'll work. And then they go right out again, and you don't see them. Why? Well, it's because of what the Lord does. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:7-9, know that healing belongs to you. That is probably the best way we can get healing, is to know what belongs to us. When Jesus died on the cross, and they took railroad spikes, and they put them through his hands, and they took railroad spikes, and they hammered them through his feet, and they put a crown on his head of thorns, and they beat him with 39 stripes. And then they put a spear in his side, and the blood and the water flowed out. When he died and went to hell and took our sins, our sickness, and our healing upon himself, made a pact, left a testament, rose from the dead, and enforced it. Is it too much for us to believe his word, what he says? I have found that out this year. Every morning I get up and I do this. I make this script, I make this commitment to the Lord. I'll say, the Lord, with long life, will he satisfy me and show me his salvation. I'll say, the Lord, and what David said, I will call upon the name of the Lord, he will deliver me, and then he'll do it. And I say, the Lord's promise is my salvation, and my salvation, the word salvation means also healing. Now, God's word will work, folks, but the definition of healing sometimes is a gradual recover. Sometimes you're going to have to stand. The Bible says when you've done all, stand. Doctor told me in the hospital you're going to die. He says, no, I'm not. I guess I broke his heart because I didn't die. I had four of them tell me that. I said, no, I'm not going to. I'm not going to. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to. I'm not going to. Amen. No, 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 no. You say you can't refuse to do that. You can refuse in Jesus' name. I will call upon the name of the Lord, and then he'll deliver thee. I'll call upon his name, and then he'll deliver me. How much faith do they have when you're calling? I realized it wasn't my time yet, and I wasn't in any, I'm not in any mood to go. Now, if you guys want to get with me and you give me some messages, when it is time, I'll carry them up there for you. When I go up, and everybody will be happy, and you'll be able to tell your friends what happened that you didn't tell them before they die. So people have done that, but I'm not ready yet, because I believe if you call upon the name of the Lord is my strength of my life and my portion forever, and my portion is healing. Praise the Lord. Son, you want to close this up for me?
Give him a hand.
Hold on to that, Grandpa.
I was sitting there listening to you about physical healings, and my heart went back to when I was a boy. My dad was, you all know my dad's the pastor. Most of you know anyways. My dad's heart was broken. He was probably at the lowest point that I had ever seen him as a dad. And I remember, Grandpa, I remember you walking up to him and just looking him in the eyes only the way you do, just smiling at him and saying, you know, it's going to be okay. And I think more important sometimes than getting a physical healing, it's getting a heart healing. And if you can do God's work and you can serve his purposes while you're living, that's the life I want to live.
Amen.
Dying, I'm ready to go to heaven whenever. Them streets of gold sound good. No more aches, no more pains. But while I'm here, I want to do what God's called me to do.
Amen.
And I can say, out of the years that I can remember being around the church, you've done what God's called you to do. And you too, Grandma. And there's nothing better than having that testimony. So you might be sitting here tonight, you might say, Ryan, you can go ahead. Real soft, okay, son? You might be sitting here tonight, you might say, you know, I'm not living for my purpose. I want to do what God's called me to do. You might be sitting here tonight saying that. Why don't you stand right now if that's you? I pray in Jesus' name that each one that has stood and made the declaration, I want to do what you've called me to do. I want to serve your purpose and your plan. I pray, God, that you begin to reveal that to them. You begin to open doors. You begin to make paths clear. Father, assignments clear. Giftings clear. That we could walk out the fivefold ministry in this body, in this place. I thank you that you did extend his days. I thank you that you did protect him when the car hit the driver's door, God, that you sent your angels to hold them back just a little bit. And God, thank you that you'll continue to extend his days. We thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give him a hand. I told Grandpa this week when I was getting the music ready, I text Ryan. I said, I felt the Lord just say, see if Ryan will play this song. And I believe this is Grandpa's testimony. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Come on, lift your hand tonight if you receive this. All my life you have been faithful. Come on, sing it out tonight. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Come on, sing it one more time. All my life. Oh, all my life you have been faithful. I thank you for that, Lord. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this house, for this people, for this place. I thank you that through the generations, even the generations that are represented here tonight, God, that you continue your work. God, would you open our eyes? Would you open our ears? Father, would you heal our hearts? Would you touch our minds? Would you open our eyes, God? Not only to what you've done way back when, but what you want to do now. How you want to reveal yourself. How you want to open doors in ways, Father, that we have no clue or idea about. Father, would you do it? Would you lay your hand on this house in just a special way? Father, we sense something special. We sense something so beautiful in this place. Would you, Father, continue to reveal it to us? Would you continue, Father, to use us to do your work and, Father, to have your way? We promise you, Lord, we declare it tonight with humility and hearts after you. We'll give you all the praise for it. Just don't do it without us. Whatever you're doing, Father, would you use us to accomplish it? If that's your prayer, just lift your hand in this house. Father, you see every hand. God, whatever you're doing, don't do it without us. We want to be your hands. We want to be your feet. We want to walk this thing out. Don't let us do it in our own accord, but let us do it by the working, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill us, God, to overflowing, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name. Come on, do you believe he's good tonight? Give the Lord one more praise. Come on, give him a praise. I want to end by saying this tonight. All the young people in here, I'm so proud of you being here tonight. Parker over on the camera. All the young people, the kids over here that the parents were trying to do their best to keep them quiet. I'm so glad to hear them. I'm so glad to see them. I'm so glad that they're here hearing the word of the Lord preached and the songs of his people, the worshiping. I'm so glad that they're here tonight. We want to just foster that and encourage that. Randy, all your kids, I'm so proud that they're here tonight. All the kids up in the sound booth, and even Meg and Addison, even though you're giving your mother a hard time right now, I'm so glad that you're in the house of the Lord. We love you guys. We love the kids so, so much and are so proud of you. Would you give the kids a hand tonight? God bless you. We love you so much.